Okay, we're going to learn about the death of Aaron today.
Oh,
yay.
What?
It is sad, but it's also kind of beautiful. We're going to read a bunch of midrashim that are really, 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 really beautiful and lovely. We're on Perek Kaf, Pasuk Kaf Bet. Perek Kaf, Pasuk Kaf Bet, in Parshat Chukat. Now, in Chukat, actually, it chronicles both the deaths of Miriam and Aaron. Okay, so we're really, this is the parasha of the transition from the Dor HaMidbar to the door of the after the midbar, right? It's a 40-year parsha. The Torah begins. The parsha begins Parah Aduma, right? Which happened way before, okay? And then we talk about the deaths of Miriam and Aaron. So you see where I'm Perek Kaf Pasuk Kaf Bet. Vayisu Mikadesh. Everybody with me? Perek Kaf Pasuk Kaf Bet. Vayisu Mikadesh. They traveled from Kadesh. Vayavo b'nei Yisrael kol ha'eda hor ha'har. Okay, the whole Eda, the whole community came to hor ha'har. Like, who is kol ha'eda? Look at Rashi.
You just spoke about Eidat Korah.
Adat, it's a book about Adat, but this is kol ha'eda. Rashi on Pasuk Kapet. Kulam shleimim ba'omdim likanes la'aretz. They're all ready. They're all prepared, standing ready to enter the land.
So this is after the 40 years.
Shelo haya b'hem echad me'otam shenigzera gzera alehem. There was no one left that was part of the gzera of the Meraglim. Shekvar kulo kalu metei midbar. Those who perished in the desert, they are kalu, they were lost. Ve'elu me'otam shekatub behem chayim kulchem hayom. Okay, and these are the ones that were said about them, that chayim kulchem hayom, you're all alive today. It's meaning that all Adap in Israel, kol ha'ida, they came to Hor Ha'har. They're on the final passage. Now, interestingly, they don't know. We know the end. We know that Moshe and Aaron aren't going to go. But they don't really know that. They think that Moshe and Aaron are going to lead them, that the leadership they have will continue to lead them.
Are you sure nobody told them?
Why would you think that? We know, in this parasha, just to remind you, is the story of the Meimrivah, very famous story. Moshe hit the rock, didn't talk to the rock. And God says to Moshe, because Ya'an lohe emantem bi, you didn't have faith in me, lachein lo taviyu etam, you will not bring the nation. Do you think Moshe told them?
Is that before the 40 years? Or
what?
After the 40
I can prove to you from the Midrash, at least according to the Midrash, he didn't tell them. This is got to be at the end. It's got to be at the end. It's after Miriam died. Miriam died at the end. Okay. So right after Miriam died, there was no water. Remember, Miriam dies, she's Be'er Miriam, no water.
Uh-huh. So she died first.
She died first. There's no water. Her well dries up. They complain. Moshe hits the rock instead of talks to the rock. And God says, okay, forget it. You guys are also not going to go. Did they tell the Jewish people? They said, oh, by the way, we're going to die. You think they told anybody?
Best not to.
What? Probably best not to. We're going to see, actually. It's very interesting. We're going to hopefully see. Okay, so what happens? Okay. Oh, 1 second. One more thing.
What does that mean?
What does it mean?
I thought Hor
Ha'har
is the name of the place.
It is the name of the place. What's the name?
Mountain of the Mountain.
Great. The Mountain of Mountain. What does that mean? It's really hard. I'm not sure why it's called Har. The Midrash says that it had four names. Har Nevo, Har Ha'avarim, Hor Ha'har. Which mountain is it?
If it's Har Nevo, it's the same mountain that Moshe died on.
Which mountain range is it exactly? What mountain range did Moshe die on?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's very nice. We do know.
I don't know.
When you go to Mitzvah Yericho and you look down at Yericho, remember you look down at the Jordan Valley. What's on the other side?
Jordan.
And on the other side?
I don't know.
It's a mountain range. You're looking at the mountain range. Moshe Rabbeinu died on Har Ha'avarim. The passage mountain, the range of
Jordan?
What?
In
Jordan. Right, remember the Vedas are there in Jordan. Mm-hmm. So which mountain? Nobody knows which mountain exactly it is.
Sure,
but
they should just make one. They have such great tourism.
What, the Moshe one? The Torah says you can't find it, but
on purpose we
do. Right. So it says it has four now. Har Ha'avarim, Hor Ha'har, Har Nevo, and Hor Ha'har. That's Har Nevo, Hor Ha'har. Rosh HaPisgah, it's also called. Four names. Okay? It says, why did it have four names? Because there were four kings that were fighting over it. But it's unclear. And each gave, of course, you all give it your own name in order to, you know, to lay claim to it. Why it's
what
called
were the other names? Har Nevo.
Har Ha'avarim.
Yeah.
Okay. Har Nevo, Hor Ha'har, and Rosh HaPisgah. But Rosh HaPisgah is like description of the place itself.
Yes,
I don't know. Okay. So why it's called Hor Ha'har, the mountain of mountains? I don't really know. Okay. Rashi says, Hor Ha'har, it's a mountain on a mountain. Ki tapuach katan al gabei tapuach gadol. They're like a little mountain on top, like they had a big mountain, and then a little mountain. Anybody ever find a mountain range like that? I'm sure somebody probably looked for it. You know, if you'll do your topographical studies. Danielle's going to find it on her next expedition. Okay.
Google Earth. Yeah. An apple on an apple mountain.
One second. Yeah. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe ve'el Aharon behor ha'har al gvul Eretz Edom le'mor. It's in Hor-Hahar on the border of Eretz Edom. Remember, they went around Edom. They couldn't go through. Ye'asev Aharon el Amav. Aharon should gather to his nation, i.e.
He's going to die.
Ki lo yavo el ha'aretz asher natati livnei Yisrael. He can't come. Al asher meritem et pi le'mei meriva. Al, because you have embittered my mouth in the story of Mei Meriva, to Mei Meriva. Now, what happened, by the way, in Mei Meriva? What happened? The people complained. They needed water. God said,
talk to the rock. Right.
Yes.
He hit the rock.
Moshe yelled at them. And hit the rock. And water came out.
Good. So what's the rabbi's question?
What was wrong with what Moshe did?
No. Whatever. We're not studying Mei Meriva today. Right. We're not studying Mei Meriva. All excellent questions.
How did Moshe and Aaron merit him at P?
No, that's not the question. That's what's the sin of Mei Meriva. What did Aaron do wrong? Al Hashem merit him at P in the Mei Meriva. What did Aaron do
you
wrong?
You said it back. No, a minute.
Yeah.
You can't say. But that's also an issue from Mei Meriva, from this story that you said we're not going back to visit. I said, how did Moshe and Aaron?
Oh, you did. I apologize.
Yeah, but merit him.
The sin of Mei Meriva is not our topic. But Aaron, his name does not appear.
But it was Yan Asher Lohem Mantem Bilakti Sheni. It's plural.
Okay, we'll look at it. One second.
So don't. Right, but
no, it's fine.
But if you're...
Let's see if Aaron is mentioned whatsoever. One second. Where is it?
Yes. Yud. Pasuk Yud.
Vayakilu Moshe ve'Aaron et hakar p'nei ha'sela.
He didn't talk, but he was...
Vayomer lahem. Who said it?
Is
that
right?
Okay, right. And then
you'd bet.
So Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe's like, Aaron, let's get the people in. So Aaron's like, everybody come on together. They all get together. Moshe says, you bitter people. You think I'm going to get rocks? I'm going to get water out of this for you? Hits the rock, water comes out. God says, Vayam Hashem Moshe ve'el Aharon. Ya'an lo he'emantem bi. You did not have faith in me.
Even in the command, when Hashem first speaks in Pasuk Chet,
yes,
he says, Hashem says, Kacha tamatev v'hakel taida ata v'aron achicha.
No.
V'dibartem el hasela le'inehem. You're both supposed to do it.
So Aaron has sinned that that Moshe took charge?
Or maybe he was the bystander. But is that what we're addressing now? What was Aaron's
sin? Yes,
sinning?
I want to
We're not talking
Aaron
about
did.
What was Moshe's sin, but we are talking about what was Aaron's sin.
Well, maybe he should have said something, like he should have maybe publicly said that.
Bystander.
Is that right? One second. Or Chaim says the following. So whatever the sin is, whatever Moshe said, Hamin Hasela, you think I can't get rock out of this water out of this rock? I'm in the Or Chaim. And this thing Aaron had no participation. What did Aaron do? Kilama Yanesh Aaron I Moshe Amar Dibur Bilti Hagun. Why should Aaron be punished if Moshe said something inappropriate? Bishlam ali in hasela ubehakaata yesh dvarim shebash lichut Hashem me'Hashem le'Aaron oidei Moshe. Okay, maybe you'll say there's dvarim shebash lichut me'Hashem vayenash al shinui asher yase. Ma'ase enkein imi deber Moshe dvarim lo ha'agunim ein Aaron itfas alehem. If Moshe did something inappropriate,
why is Aaron
being punished? Ella. Sheklalo Hashem I Moshe. God bundled Aaron with Moshe. Litzad iga ikar hadavar shagugu bo yachad.
You know, Aaron always gets stuck in that. He did that with the Isha HaKushit also, with Miriam. He got bundled in there. You know, they were tough.
He also got some stick-free passes.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, there you go.
There are other things with the
Ketorah. That was a free pass? The Ketorah, he ran out and he did.
thought we said that.
Yeah, he was wearing his suit, his protective suit. This is
right. Right. Yeah, he's wearing the Bidei Kahuna. That's true. So what do you mean with?
I'm saying maybe the sin wasn't. Maybe it was they were leaders together, and this wasn't a specific sin. It was just a combination of things together that they were a team. They were. It's like when the CEO goes down, the president goes down also.
No, that's not what happens. The president goes down, the vice president becomes the president.
Okay, well, maybe in U.S. politics, yes, but if you have, let's say, like a company where things are falling and they're not happy, they kind of sometimes clear out the whole upper management. But there's, you know.
Right, but hopefully, I understand, but I will accept your premise and reject your analogy. Like, things aren't going bad, right? Mm-hmm. But it is clear.
They're going bad. I'm just saying that they're a pair and that, you know, they've sort of. You know, both had their sins and their merits, but they're sort of a pair at the end. I don't know.
It's interesting. I have to think about it. I agree with you without a doubt. I definitely agree with you. The question is, because how does the role of Aaron, for whatever reason, like the role of Moshe, we understand. Moshe Rabbeinu is he's the leader. And we can understand very much why the Jewish people couldn't go into Eretz Yisrael with him. Meaning the danger of having a Moshe Rabbeinu in Eretz Yisrael. Like, I've always looked at this whole process, a process of from this supernatural existence in the Midbar, where they look at Moshe, and Moshe is really literally the right-hand man of God, to where, like, that's got to end. And they have to enter into the land, they have to conquer the land, they have to build the land. And with the presence of Moshe, you almost can't do it. Because there's always Moshe that's going to save you. You know, there's always something that's going to, like Moshe Rabbeinu, his merit, he's going to, whatever. How does Aaron fit into that role? He was a, you know, how does he fit? Is it just how the people viewed him as part of Moshe? Would he have assumed, like, he's not Moshe. He's not. He could never be Moshe. He just had a different role. How is his role as Aaron something that prevents him from going into Eretz Yisrael? Like, is it fair to say, well, just sorry, that's it, you're stuck?
But it does seem like that the three of them, I think that the three of them were kind of associated with each other. So if one couldn't go in, then all three couldn't go in.
Huh. Okay. That doesn't seem divine enough to me. You know what I'm saying? You're a team, you all go down with the ship. I understand, but there's got to be something
because
about...
There was a separation when we just learned about the whole conversation with Miriam and Aaron, and it means that they didn't have the same nevuah. That
right.
They were separate from him. If they could judge him, that means they were on the outside, you know? So, on the one hand, they did do things together, but they weren't really his best friend.
Right.
They weren't going through the same experiences that...
It was
Moshe
and Miriam,
Aaron.
That's the way it's
let's done.
Let's
leave
well,
this question.
Like the leadership that's needed to go into Eretz Israel is completely different.
Yes.
And Aaron was not ever going to be that leader. So what are you going to do? You're going to like usurp him. If Moshe's gone, then suddenly you say, oh, here's Yehoshua. He's going to take over. Because Aaron is actually the natural successor.
So you're creating a situation so he doesn't feel bad? Or you're making out that he sinned?
No, I'm saying that he cannot continue being the lead. He can't.
But Hashem says to him, Ya'ana sherlo emantem bilak disheni. That's pretty heavy stuff.
Right. So you're saying, where is that coming from?
Right. Like, I understand what you're saying, that Aaron can't be the leader. But then why accuse him of...
Right.
Of all things.
I don't know. All right, let's read on. We'll read on. The only thing I can think of is, what did the role of the Kohen be? What was it during times of war?
Lead them into war.
He did. The role of the Kohen would be, you were the Kohen Mashuach Milchama. And he definitely had a role, like Elazar. We see it even in this parsha. I think that they went out with the Kohen, and it was war. What's considered holy war?
Right.
And it's a very interesting question to think about.
It doesn't fit with our...
Could Aaron be that guy?
Right. It's just kind of...
But
our vision of Aaron is very different than that. You know what I'm saying?
But then you're still stuck with Hashem laying this on him, of accusing him of not being Mekadesh Shem Hashem. If you want to say Aaron, you're not the appropriate leader, Beseder. You want to even just end his life like you did with Miriam with no explanation whatsoever, then do that. But to in tandem accuse him of Ya'an Lohem Mantem Bilak Disheni, I think there's...
Miritem et pi l'mei
miriva.
Yeah.
How could you do that?
Well, he's God.
I mean,
so
he's
obviously
God,
there's truth
to
it. Yes, he can...
He feels appropriate, but I'm saying you can't say that he didn't do anything wrong and he simply was not an appropriate leader.
Okay.
You can't.
So what did Aaron do?
I don't know, but we're not doing that today, you said.
Miritem, okay, fair enough. Hey, okay. Kach et Aaron. So we were not doing that actually. No, it's fine. Kach et Aaron ve'et Elazar beno ve'ha'al otam horahar. I really wanted to do this part. This is very beautiful. Take Aaron and Elazar his son. Take them up to horahar. Ve'hafshet et Aaron et bigadav ve'hilbashtam et Elazar beno. You should take off the clothing of Elazar, okay, and you put them on Elazar his son. The Aharon ye'asef, Aharon will gather himself together, umetsham. Meaning there is a, on the one hand, a beautiful symbolic transfer of the kahuna from Aharon to Elazar through the clothing. There's this like, you take the clothing off of Aharon and you put them on Elazar. He's going to be the continuation of his father's mission. Right? There's like a beautiful, beautiful... there's this beautiful midrashim. We're going to see in a second what the problem was. The midrash says on Elazar beno, okay, he says to him, why did you bring Elazar? Amar lo, kol mi shemetu meniach beno tachtav memalei mekomo, eino met. Person who dies and has his son take his place, that person isn't dead. Mm. Right? Because, like, if you think about it, that's, you know, there's a lot of truth to that. That, you know, how should we say this?
He's continuing the legacy.
Yeah, right,
yeah.
Right.
What? No, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, he died and then...
I think about this a lot. Like last night we had this just beautiful Ma'amad Siyum, Batal's graduation. It wasn't really a graduation. It was kind of like a...
It was a Ma'amad Siyum.
It was a play. It was a Ma'amad Siyum.
It was, yeah.
Definitely not like any graduation I've ever been at. But like it really gets you to think that You don't want your children to take your place. Like when you start, you think, oh, my kids are going to take my place. They're going
to
be like me.
You want them to stay there.
What?
You want them to stay there.
That's right. You want them to take. That's part of my how should we say evolution, that you become to understand that you don't want them to take your place. You need them not to take your place. You know, and interesting that the midrash felt very strongly that there was this idea of a child taking the place of the father, at least in the household and the responsibilities. You don't have to be exactly the same, but you want them to take their place. I'm just thinking about that. Anyway, Vayas Moshe, where are we? Yeah. Chavzayin. Vayas Moshe ka'asher tzivah Hashem vaya'alu el hor hahar le'enei kol ha'eda. So they went up to hor hahar, so Moshe Rabbeinu says, le'enei kol ha'eda. Everyone's watching. Vayashet Moshe et Aaron et begadav. So Moshe lafshit means to undress. He undressed Aaron of his clothing. Vayalbesh otam et Elazar beno, and he dressed him. He put them on Elazar. Vayamot Aaron sham b'rosh shahar, and he died at the top of the mountain. Vayered Moshe ve'Elazar min hahar. And what do you mean?
No,
first the commandment, and then they did it. Okay, so there's such beautiful midrashim. The reason I wanted to do this is there's this beautiful midrashim. Okay? Just beautiful, beautiful midrashim. Says the midrash. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe. God said to Moshe, Lech emor le'aron achicha. Go say to Aaron, Higi azmancha lefater min ha'olam. Time has come for you to die. Right. Aaron did, according to the midrash, Aaron had no idea. He didn't know. Miyad Amad Moshe.
He's 123 years old.
Yes.
It's gonna come sometime soon. What do you mean he didn't know?
So did Aaron think he was going into?
He already reached 120. You know, where's the limit? I don't know.
And how did he know 120 was the limit?
Right.
120
only
the limit after Moshe.
After Moshe, right? Miyad Amad Moshe b'tfilah b'tnei Hakadosh Baruch Hu. So Moshe stood in prayer of Amar and he said, Ribono shel olam, ech omar la'achi higi azmancha. How am I supposed to tell my brother, you know, your time has come? Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, said God, Kvar gizartiv alav gzeirat tova. I've already made the decree Shelo nigzara ala adam acher, that has never been done before. Shelo em sirena biyad malach hamavet. Okay, right? That the malach hamavet has no control over him. When did that happen? Be'oto yom she'atzar magefa. Like, remember, he ran in, and the malach hamavet is like, you know, you can't do this. And Aaron's like, you can't touch me. So what did Aaron think?
He's immortal.
Free pass. Free pass. Like, I'm not afraid of the malach hamavet. I've got a good deal. Okay? Okay. So, v'chein haya min hagam b'chol yom. The minhag was, ha-nisi'im mashki'im li'pitcho shel Elazar. The nisi'im would all go up and, like, you know, knock on the Elazar's door and, like, bring him out. Elazar nisi'im b'pitcho shel Aharon. And then they would go and collect Aaron to go to work. And then they would all, it was just like procession. They would all pick up Elazar. Elazar would say, like, pick up my dad.
Careful.
Right? Well, whatever. And that day Moshe changed things. Hishkim hu ve'elazar v'nisi'im lipitcho shel Aharon.
What?
They all got up. Moshe Rabbeinu collected them all, and they all got up to go to the Aaron's door. So Aaron opens the door, like, and he's expecting Elazar and the Nisi'im, and Moshe's there. Something's different. Amar lo Aaron, Moshe achi, lama shinita ta minhag? Why? What's different? Amar lo Moshe, kach tzivani HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He didn't tell him. That's what Hashem wanted. Okay. Ken haya seder habichatam. Moshe be'emtza, Moshe in the middle, Aaron b'yimino, Elazar b'smolo. Is that ba'otah yom amar Aaron the Moshe achi, emoli ma tatzerich mimeni. What do you want? Tell me. Amar lo hamtein ad shenaale bahar. Hold on, I'll tell you when we get to the mountain.
This sounds like Yitzchak.
Lachar shealu amar Moshe le Aaron achi, shema pikadon ifkid haKadosh Baruch Hu imcha umevakshel mimcha. Okay. Maybe haKadosh Baruch Hu gave you something that and he wants it back. I.e., what's Moshe saying?
It's your time.
It's your time. He can't tell him. Amar lo Aharon, Moshe achi, ohol mo'ed v'keila mufkadim biyadi. Yeah, I'm in charge of the bed. I'm in charge of the Mishkan. Shema hechstarti yame avodatam. Maybe I'm. Did I do anything wrong? Amar lo Moshe menorah v'shiva nerotea masar lo hakadosh baruch hu. He said, no, you have the ner, you have the nerot, you have the menorah. Meaning what? The life, right? Hu lo aya noten b'libo, sha'al nishmato hu omer. And Aaron didn't get it. He's like, no, you don't have, it's not just the Mishkan, you have the menorah, you have the ner. Okay? V'lo hirgish Aaron b'davar. Aaron didn't get it. He just was like, you know. Amar lo Moshe, Aaron achicha, higia zmancha lipater me'aholam. He said, you have to, it's your time. Kishmo Aaron kach hiniach yadav arosho v'ayat zo'ek u'boche. Aaron was crying. Et cetera, et cetera. Okay? You know, it's like it's a powerful thing that after all this time, he's 123 years old. Moshe's 120 years old. I've got more to do. You know, what do you mean? Who's going to take care of the Mishkan today? Who's going to light the menorah? No. It's a beautiful thing. Okay. There are other versions of the Midrash, but you get the point. Okay. There's a whole Midrashic confusion about the process of the death of Aaron and the transfer to Elazar. There's a logical problem. It appears in Rashi. Rashi says, Et bigadav. Okay, Rashi on Kaf Vav. So Rashi is alluding to a larger midrash, but it's just a beautiful. I've been thinking about this midrash. I'm wondering, like, what do you do with it? Like, what is the midrash trying to say? And I'm not entirely sure. See Rashi on Epigadav. Epigdei kihuna gidola hilbishehu. Like Aaron, he's wearing the bigdei kihuna. So it's really interesting. Like Moshe knocks on the door, and like they're all there, and he's like, "Why are you here?" And you're like, oh, we have to go on a tiyula. You know, Kadosh Baruch Hu said we got to go to the mountain. Okay, I'll get myself ready because I'll put on your big day kihuna. Remember, you don't wear the big day kihuna outside. You don't go on tiyula in big day kihuna. Put on big day kihuna. So Aaron, like according to the Midrash, he didn't know. You know, but it's like, let's assume he didn't know. So he thinks that he's going for some
holy
mission.
Yeah, some special mission. Okay. So Aaron says, he dressed him. He wanted to put on the clothes on Aaron before him. Amar lo, he said, Hikanes lemeara, go into this cave. Menichnas. Ra'a mita mutsa'at v'ner daluk. He saw a bed
with
and a neck like spread out. What?
With sheets.
It's really, this is heavy stuff.
I think it's a secret, that.
And there's a candle. Amar lo, alele mita v'hala. Sit on the bed. Go on the bed. Shot yadcha pshat. Kamotz picha v'kamatz. Right? Close your mouth. Atzo menacha, close your eyes. Miyad chamad Moshe le'ota mita. Moshe said, I want to die
like
that,
that
way. I want that death. V'zehu shereemar. And that's what it says in when Moshe's time to die. It says, go alei horaha. Go up to this mountain. And you will die. Ka'asher met Aaron achicha. Just as your brother died. Not you'll die like he died. You'll die the same way that he died. And Moshe Rabbeinu wanted this. We'll see what it is in a second. So the Midrash says, really, really fascinating Midrash. Midrash says the following. Lo yada Moshe kitzad yafshi. This is, the Ramban quotes this. I don't know, have you heard this Midrash? You familiar?
I don't know.
Yeah? Moshe didn't know what to do. Why? Lafshit et achitzon ulhabish pnimi le'elazar.
Yeah.
Right? Elazar, when you put on the Bidei Kehuna, the Bidei Kehuna, it's the full complement. You've got the shorts, and then the undershirt, you know what I'm saying? Shorts, and then the shirt, and then the belt, and then the whatever. They have to be put on in the right order. We talked about this?
That it was like it went in the right order.
You're right. Okay? Lo ayayacho. So he can't put on the outer clothes on Elazar, like as I take off the hat, to put on the hat. He can't do that. Okay? Lachlit bidei kodesh min sidran. To put them out of order. Lo ayayaf shah. Can't do that. Litol et kulam v'lahanicho erom yifshar. Not b'chubad to Aaron to take all of the clothes off
and leave them
undressed. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ata oseh et shelcha v'ani oseh et sheli. Said God, you do your thing, I'll do my thing. Haya Moshe mafshito. So Moshe would take off clothing. V'aharon mitkase bahar. So there's two versions of this. Aaron was covered in the mountain, he's covered. Did it stop?
Okay.
I answered it. My bad. Okay. Oh, and it's still recording. What do you know? 1 second. I'll go into airplane mode. Let's see if that helps. Yeah, still recording. Oh, what do you know? Okay. Aaron was covered with the mountain. The other version is he was covered with Ananei HaKavod, that he became enveloped in the Anan. Okay. Moshe Machshito u'Malachei Hasharet midlabshim oto. Moshe would take off a piece of clothing, and the angels would clothe him. It was very important that, according to the Midrash, that Aaron saw Elazar, you know, being clothed with these clothing. And he had this sort of nachat ruach that it was passed on to him. Okay? Achar kach, afterwards, yarad HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'natal nishmato b'nishika. God himself came down and took his soul with a kiss. The kiss of God. Al pi Hashem. That's what it means, that he died al pi Hashem. Vayu Moshe ve'Elazar menashkim et Aharon. Moshe and Aaron, so there was a bed in the middle, Moshe on one side, Elazar on the other side, etc., etc. And God came down and took away his soul. You know, I'll be honest with you, that's the most... What else can a person ask for? That his family with him and there's peace.
But because Moshe wouldn't tell him earlier, he didn't manage to separate from everyone. Only his one son and Moshe. I mean, I don't know if there were more.
There were more children, right?
Right.
There
like,
was another son.
So.
And his wife.
I don't know. He could have given him the opportunity
for all of his children.
To say goodbye, because if someone knows that they're going.
You know, I just thought of this now. It's interesting. And I'm going to upload this for whoever wants to listen to it. So there's in America, this is not in Israel, it's really not common in Israel, but in America there's a very prevalent attitude that death must be fought with every possible medical procedure known to mankind. It's sort of a reaction. Like in the American medical system, if I can't make you better, many doctors have the attitude, if I can't make you better, then just make you comfortable. Whereas in Judaism, we believe in this idea of the holiness of life. That the gift that God gave us is a gift of holiness, and we have to utilize every moment that we have. And that becomes...
Yeah, you're not being clear.
I know, right. One gets the sense that in the medical system, if they can't make you better all the way, then there's a sort of like yush.
But you just said...
One second. There's a sort of yush. So there's a sort of tension between those two values of either like, oh, I can cure you, or I can't help you. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And so there are obviously many extremes in between. But like, I have seen examples. I've seen it literally, like where a doctor, if a person is suffering, like rather than suffer, like the person can't breathe. I saw an example with my own eyes, even though we told the person not to, where they gave him medication, pain medication, and then the stuff slowed his breathing and he died. Yes, kind of, right. Right.
But you also saw them intubate someone that should not have been intubated.
Correct. So as a reaction to that, to this sort of attitude, so the religious community, the Jewish community, reacted in entirely the opposite direction and said, we have to reject this totally, and to sort of embrace the idea that you have to do every possible medical procedure, every moment, every instant is holy, and you have to fight with every possible, you know, medical procedure that you possibly can do. And they can insist, and then you have people, like end of life is a very complicated thing. Most people at the end of life, they're suffering from many, many different ailments, multiple, like at the end of life, lo aleinu, no matter what disease it is, it just becomes multiple organ failure, and then they have, you know, and their body, you know, can't process food and can't process liquid. It's the end of life. And you could fight this, like there are things that medicine can do, but they're ultimately futile. So it becomes a very delicate balance between, on the one hand, prolonging life and then incurring pain. And so there are two general views among the poskim of how to deal with this. One view says, no, you have to do everything you can possibly do. It's a very extreme view. And then there's another view that says a person has the right to choose. He doesn't have to, he's not forced to endure terrible pain in order to extend his life for an end of period. This is really the position that's attributed to Rav Moshe Feinstein.
You have those forms now that you've had the
DNRs. Right. It gets very complicated because when you sign a DNR, DNR means do not resuscitate. You take that out of the hands of the family and then you put it in the hands of the medical professionals. So in America, I'm always against signing a blanket DNR. I'm always in favor of signing a proxy, a medical proxy, to your children who you trust are going to make the decisions that you would want. You know, and it's very interesting because I saw two things. And I was a man who
remember.
I was a member of Young Israel, and I had members of my shul whose children were Haredi. And then so the children went to their rabbanim to ask what we should do, and the rabbi was much more extreme and instructed them to do things that I knew for a fact that the person wouldn't have wanted. But it's not up to me, it's up to the children. So I always say that it's really important to tell your children what you want. You know, tell them what your values are and ask them to respect your values, which hopefully they'll do because those are legitimate halachic, you know, perspectives. They are legitimate. So it's really an interesting, a delicate balance. So here we see that, you know, the idea of nishika, that Moshe Rabbeinu also, like it's very powerful to me, desired a painless death. He wanted a nice death. And that I personally believe, like, that I believe that this is a value, that this is communicated to us, that it's any death is painful and horrible and challenging emotionally. But there's the idea of dying in peace as well. You know, that something that, right, that's a bracha, that Judaism has to embrace, find that level of balance. Of course, we don't, you know, hasten death, we allow nature to take its course, We don't have to, you know, I'm saying that's something that we fight against. But to fight against it, you don't have to go to the other extreme and cause people to endure suffering, which I've seen, like great suffering. And very often medical professionals have a lot of problems with doing it, and I understand why they do. You know what I'm saying? Somebody, lo aleinu kod, somebody, the heart stops eventually. So what do you do when somebody's heart stops? When you try to resuscitate them, you have to crack their chest open. So if a person is 25, you know, or 45, or whatever, and is not suffering from many other things, then you could understand why they do that. But if a person is 88, you know, and had end-stage liver cancer, what are you doing? You know, because you can bring them back for 20 minutes or a day. But,
how do you make those calls?
What?
How do you make those calls?
Right. Right.
Find people with very wide, very broad shoulders.
Find people with broad shoulders.
You don't make them on your own.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, when I was a rabbi, it's very interesting. There's a rabbi still alive, but he's sick. He's not well. His name is Rabbi Gedaliah Dov Schwartz. He still is officially the chief, the head of the Chicago Beit Din. He had amazing shoulders. You call him, and he had amazing shoulders. And so you have to find. You have to find Rabbanim like that. Here in Israel, actually, it's less of a decision, interestingly, because they won't do it. The healthcare system doesn't do that.
Doesn't do what?
All those emergency measures.
Is it socialized?
Yeah. They won't do it. Meaning there's protocols. Like in America, you can demand that they do it because it's all covered. Correct.
And you're saying here the government's not gonna...
From the best of my knowledge, I've never heard of cases like that. It's just not in the culture. It's a really interesting, you know what I'm saying? Really interesting that they won't, you know, it's much less common. I think there's something culturally more accepted about death, about loss. That you don't have to fight it with every inch of your being. I'll ask. It's interesting because I don't have rabbinic experience in at end of life the way we do in America. It's also interesting that in Israel they don't invite the rabbi to come and do. You know what I'm saying? Rabbis are.
Do what? You didn't finish your sentence.
I'll finish my sentence. Sidur Kadim. See what's last rites. That's exactly what the word I was going to use. In America, it's well known there's something called last rites. They invite the priest. So culturally, you invite the rabbi also. The Jews will invite the rabbi to come and do, and it's appropriate because you'll do Sidur Kadim, you'll say things. Israel, they won't. If a family's religious, you'll just do it on your own.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying? The rabbi is not considered a necessary part of these things. Also, funerals. You know, in Israel, in America, or Chutzlar, it's like the first thing you do is call the rabbi and say, what do we do? We're lost here. And in Israel, they don't know what to do, but they certainly don't think of calling a rabbi because it's culturally not... What?
How do you know?
I know for a fact.
You might not be involved in it because you're not in that position.
People do call the rabbi if they have halachic questions. But I'm telling you, culturally, like even non-religious people, like in America, they'll say, okay, call the funeral home, they'll call the rabbi right away. Right. In Israel, like, there's a manganon, there's a chever kedisha, but they don't necessarily. It's interesting. I work for Tzohar. I'm blatantly pro Tzohar. They just opened an agaf for avelut. They just opened it. But the challenge is people don't call, not because they don't need advice or someone to help you.
They don't think about calling.
You know, so the challenge is to let the nurses know, to let all, you know, that they should, if you have questions, to call. You know, they'll come for free. A rabbi will come and guide you. You know, and come to the funeral. It's a beautiful thing. Okay, let's finish. These midrashim. Oh, one more midrash. Amar lo. So Moshe is talking to Aaron, and it's a process. But I digress. What? God, yeah, seriously. Amar lo.
What is on your mind?
Moshe, Aaron's dick. It's a parsha.
Yeah.
I'm the one who went to the cemetery yesterday.
No, nothing. Yeah, it's just a parsha. It's just
okay.
A parsha. And a former member of mine, the reason it's in my mind is because his mother was not well, and he sent me an email asking me certain guidelines, asking questions. And I gave him general guidelines, but I was thinking to myself,
I don't know.
Yeah, like, not that I don't know. I know the general guidelines, but, like, if a push comes to shove, like, you know. Yeah. She should be well. Okay, Amar lo, and then she is well, like, but he wanted to be prepared. He is smart. He wants to know, like, as you know, these are conversations, by the way, that most people don't have because nobody wants to think about it. Nobody wants to think about it, but like as they say, those are the worst conversations not to have. The worst conversations because you have to let people know what you want. It's really important to let people know what you want, like your children know what you want at the end of life. Okay, I don't know. Why am I thinking? Amar lo! So Moshe said, Aaron achi, you don't have it inside, I'll bring you a midrash. My brother, Mata ro'eh! Mahi amita. So remember, he's taking off each piece of clothing, and as each piece of clothing, the mountain swallows him up a little bit, or the anim swallow him up a little bit. So he's like, what's death? What's it like? Amar lo, ad achshav lo klum. So Aaron's like, I don't know, I don't see anything. Elash ala anan b'kisauti ad savari. The anan is up to my neck. Kevan shivshit kulo kisa anan et kulo. So he's all covered. Moshe's like, Aaron, ma imi tatan shal tzadikim? What's going on? Hechanata. He's covered by the cloud. Where are you? Amar lo, eni kedai lomar lecha. I can't tell you. Ela halavai bati lekan. I can't tell you, but it's pretty good. Kishadan, Kishaba Moshe, Heach met Aaron, when Moshe saw this, Nikave Moshe Levitato. Moshe desired that death. He wanted to die like that. And that's the base of the Rashi that we said, Kasher, like your brother died. Like, I want that death. Except Moshe died in one different way. What? Yeah, but Moshe did not die exactly the same way Aaron died. Why?
Moshe died alone.
Moshe died alone. I think Aaron had the same pain. I think Aaron
did. You
right.
Didn't know that. Right?
How could he not? Why wouldn't Moshe not Aaron?
I mean, like, their life work wasn't complete.
You're right. It's a tragedy. It's a Greek tragedy.
Yeah.
Right?
Well,
is it a tragedy? I don't know. What definition? You'll tell me. Is it a tragedy when the hero dies?
That you bring about your own demise because of a tragic flaw that you have. That's tragic.
Did that happen?
Moshe?
Really? What?
Shimuna Amorim?
His anger, his whatever. No, the tragic flaw, it's not a tragic flaw. It's inherent in his personality.
What?
Like Moshe, lo alecham lachaligmor. He cannot complete the mission. Is that a tragedy? I don't know.
Yeah, if you worked your whole life for something in you.
Okay. Vayu'u kol haidaki gava Aaron, vayivku et Aaron shloshim yom kol beit Yisrael. Right? They saw Aaron die. So this we've done before. What?
Is this where you get shloshim?
I don't know. It might be. Okay. So, by the way, the Midrash says, and the people saw Moshe and Eleazar coming down, they're like, where's Aaron? The Midrash says, it's like very vivid Midrashim. They're like, he died. What do you mean he died? How could he die? He can't die.
We don't believe you.
We don't believe you. And the Midrash says,
he was.
Right. Okay. Ein anu ma'aminim l'cha. The Midrash says, we don't believe you.
You killed him.
Shema davar shelo k'hogin amar lo v'kanas talav mita. Maybe he said something you didn't like and you punished him. Bikshu kol Yisrael iskol et Moshe ve'elazar. They wanted to stone them to death. Meaning, why did they want to stone them to death? They panicked. Like, Moshe, whatever. Aaron.
He didn't separate.
What?
Aaron was, like Daniela said, Aaron was the popular one.
Aaron was the man of the people. Like, look at Rashi on Aaron died, Ki Gava. Okay. Kol Beit Yisrael. Why? Ha'anashim v'nashim. Men and women. V'ishaya Aaron rodef shalom. U'metil ahava ben balei meriva u'ben ish li'ishto. There are people, and Rina will know exactly what I'm thinking about. You just feel good being around them. Their very presence makes you feel calm and that there's something right about the world. And Aaron would walk around and he would care about people and you would know.
It's that such an irony that he's called Aaron Meriva. Like, it's so, I
don't know.
Same language even. You said, Lord, she's Meriva.
What? Next year. We did it last year, 2 years ago. Oh, you want to do name Meriva again?
I don't know.
So what? Mithil Ahava Bein Ma'alei Meriva.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And
well, very nice.
Yeah.
I did not. I don't know.
No.
Yeah. That's really good. I really agree with that. That's strong. Now, what's the name of this week's parasha?
Chukah.
Right. So the Unculus says, interestingly, I just have to point out, go to the beginning of the parasha. This is what we'll finish. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe ve'el Aharon le'mor. This happened. The Midrash says, when did it happen? When did they have to know about Tuma and Tahara? When did they know? Did they? Before Pesach? Before then. When did they have to know how to become Tahor? Before the Korban Pesach.
For the Mishkan.
When?
Chanukah Mishkan.
When? You're getting closer.
Matan Torah.
After Elazar and after Nadav and Abihu were killed.
Okay.
Remember, because then somebody had to collect them, and then they had to have two Matan Torah.
Okay.
Zod Chukat HaTorah Asher Tzivah Hashem Leimor. This is the Chukat HaTorah. Daber al Bnei Yisrael Bikchu Eilecha Farah Adimah Temimah Asher Ein Bamum Asher Lo Ola Aleha O. Parah Adumah Temimah. Listen to this language. A pure red heifer. Okay, first Parah Adumah. Extremely rare. Right? You never find it. Right. Temimah. Pure. Ein Bamum. Has no, what? I don't know. Good question. Okay. Tumimah ba'ad mumuyut, Rashi says. It's pure in its redness. No, not even two white hairs. Totally pure. Ein ba'mum, no blemishes. Lo ala elo, it never carried the burden of all of work. Unatatem ota el azar hakohen. You should give it to Elazar, and then he does, I'm going to say blah, blah, he does all the stuff that he does. What? Who's supposed to do it?
Aaron.
Yeah. Is there, like, so Rashi says, mitzvata b'sgan, the second in command does it. Okay?
Yeah.
Midrash says, why Elazar not Aaron? Mipnei sh'haya lo shutafut b'ma'aseh ha'egel. Aaron was involved in the Chet Ha'egel, as we well know. Heavily involved in Ma'aseh ha'egel. Okay? So, therefore, he can't be that. It's very clear, the para is the kapara. The Midrash says, like in many, many examples, the para aduma is kapara for Chet Ha'egel. Like the sin of the death. That there's a lot of connection between the two. Could it be coincidence that Aaron has no role in the para aduma, right? And then we say, Zot Chukat HaTorah. So the Mefarshim always like to quote Unkelus. What's Zot Chukat HaTorah? Unkelus on Zot Chukat HaTorah, Pasuk Be. Dag Zerat Oraita. Chukat, this is the decree of God. That somehow there's a foreshadowing that there's a connection of Aaron involved in this, that there's a Zerah of God. That, yes, Aaron was, I love this, I think of it as Para Aduma. He was a special, unique person. Tmima, holy, pure. Ein Bamun. He had no blemishes. There's nothing.
Aaron?
Yes. That there's nothing wrong with him. Lo Allah, Allah, all. But he never carried the burden. Right? And nonetheless, why? 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 What did he do?
Next year.
Dag Zerata Raita. No, this is Akadosh Baruch Hu. The Mitatan Shel Tzadikim brings about a kapara. We don't know. And there are those people that's the nature of the world. That Aaron was such a unique person. That's why it says everybody mourned him. Everybody knew Aaron was like, and they couldn't imagine life going on without Aaron. And life goes on. But that's the kapara for Am Yisrael. Mm-hmm. Like, that's why I think it appears in Parashat Chukat. Dag Zerah Oraita. Stop here. Mm-hmm.